The UW-Madison history professor is off to Washington. His new job, writing the ongoing history of counterterrorism for the Office of History for the Joint Chiefs of Staff. Hall is a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserve, and he's being placed on active duty to review classified documents and tell the official story of the military's efforts. John Hall joins us now. He's a military history professor at UW-Madison. John, thanks a lot for joining us today.
My pleasure, Rob.
Well, describe that new job. We gave some of the basics there, but what are you going to be doing for the Pentagon?
I'll be doing a few things, actually, in addition to the writing and chronicling the war on terror as it unfolds, which I think had been reported in Madison and a couple of media outlets. I'll be doing other jobs related to historical writing and research in a important office within the Joint Staff that is responsible for informing senior leaders on the deeper history of a range of issues that are important to national security and international affairs.
I know you can't go into super specifics, obviously, and that's part of the story here. A lot of the work you're doing is going to be classified. What is it going to be like for you to be a historian writing for this, for a fairly limited audience?
Yeah, I mean, that's one of the challenges. I mean, of course, historians like to write for a much broader audience. The readership is something that all seek and desire, and to be able to write things like this that will never see the light of day outside the Pentagon is certainly different, but there's a compensation involved, I think, and that I know that the people reading what I am writing are potentially making important decisions based upon the products that I'm producing. So it's a smaller audience, but it's not typical for an academic historian to be able to influence potentially policy as immediately as I will be able to do in this position.
Whether we're talking about the military and counterterrorism or about government leadership in general, do you think that we focus enough on the lessons of history as you're trying to get people to do now?
Generally, I think the answer to that question is no, and that's one of the reasons why I'm gratified, and I think that your listeners should be gratified to know that this activity, this office exists, and that there are dedicated civil servants, historians, trained professionals who have the job of looking at a much longer picture with more nuance, more context, and are in a position to lend that historical perspective to these pressing concerns. I spent 15 years, as you said, on active duty in the Army, and it's typical in military organizations, at least in uniform military organizations, to rotate people through jobs every 3 years, sometimes 2 years, sometimes only 1 year. And in that brief amount of time that you're on a job, usually you're getting to a point of a higher level of competence just in time to rotate out to a newer job. And so it's one of the challenges within a bureaucracy such as this or really any other to provide that longer picture, because there is so much institutional turnover and there's not as much institutional memory as there perhaps ought to be. But this isn't unique to DOD either.
Obviously, terrorism and counterterrorism are not new in 2017 or the 21st century or even to the United States. As you provide that historical context, how wide a net are you casting, both back in time and geographically around the world?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's really it's my forte, or it's my responsibility to go back in time and pretty broadly, and that's one of the things that makes this position or this opportunity so interesting, is that I'm getting to delve deeper into issues that are generally outside of my own research trajectory at the University of Wisconsin, and that's definitely exciting to me. But my job is not that of a contemporary intelligence analyst, so I'm really spending as much time really in open source materials, published journal articles, the books on various topics, as I am looking at classified sorts of documents. I look at classified documents primarily to understand the problems that decision makers are confronting, so that it makes it easier for me to frame the historical analysis in a way that it's going to be useful. But it's like any other historical research that synthesizes a wide array of materials.
But that's interesting. I mean, often I think a historian going back and searching through history isn't doing that with that contemporary problem in mind. You kind of tell the story of what happened and don't. This is applied history, I guess, is what I'm saying, which is I don't know how common that is.
Yeah, it is applied history. I mean, I would say that it's more common in the subfield of military history in which I trained in which I train graduate students. Military history has always sort of occupied a liminal space or a middle ground between more applied disciplines and the pure domain of academic history. So when I teach and train graduate students at the University of Wisconsin, of course, we're foremost concerned with questions that are historiographically important. And in that regard, it's no different than any other subfield of history. But there's a component of the discipline or of the field of military history that does have an eye toward more contemporary concerns. And so this is not a huge move away for me, because actually my initial training as a military historian was as an active duty Army captain sent to graduate school to get a degree in history so I could go and then teach cadets at West Point. So I am familiar with this form of applied military history. And, you know, that's the difference. What's driving the question? I tell students that a good research project needs to have a question that deserves to be answered. And the difference here is who determines what deserves to be answered and what the motivations for it are.
We're talking to John Hall, military history professor at UW-Madison, going to work and writing the ongoing history of counterterrorism for the Pentagon, and look back for lessons from history for modern-day counterterrorism efforts. John, can you talk about the qualifications required for this job? This was not a posting that the general public was going to be able to sign on for.
No, yeah, so I'm fairly fortunate in that regard, is that the pool of qualified candidates was no doubt quite shallow, and I happen to be at the more accessible end of the pool, because I am an Army reservist who's already assigned, or was already assigned, to a joint staff history office. And so until August 18th, my first day on the joint staff, I worked as a historian 2 weeks every summer, and periodically throughout the year for U.S. European Command. So in that position, I'm sort of already available as a serving reservist, a PhD in history with a publication record, and notably a top secret security clearance. And I was one of the candidates that really the first candidate that was recommended to be chief historian of the Joint Staff's History Office, and he didn't need to look any further beyond me.
And you have referred to that comment, that the saying that journalism is the first draft of history, and then historians come in and try to make more sense out of those initial reactions from sometimes the media and the politicians of the day. Well, now, at least in the work you're doing as far as the contemporary history of counterterrorism, you're going to be trying to get a handle on this with that first draft, with what's happening in some cases, I imagine, today. What kind of challenge is that going to be?
Yeah, it's a challenge in a number of regards, because the materials that I'll be working with as a chronicler of these efforts don't enable me to do a great deal of synthesis, right? So, I mean, as I've mentioned, I'm doing more than writing the history of counterterrorism. I'm doing these other research efforts as well that let me reach back into an established body of scholarship on particular topics. And I don't have that here. So what I am doing is, I mean, certainly my training as a historian is invaluable to it, but I'm sort of working in parallel with journalists writing that first draft. Of course, I'm getting to base what I'm writing off of things that the journalists don't get access to, but they're getting to see and interview people that I don't have access to. So I think really, I've mentioned that as a 30-year rolling window. I'm writing right beside journalists who are outside of the building, and together we're writing complementary first drafts of this history that 30 years, maybe not quite that long from now, other historians will come in and be able to synthesize what journalists and historians like me are writing at this moment.
And you mentioned at the outset that historians like to write for as wide an audience as possible. Are you hoping to take what you can from this experience and use it in your own writing down the road?
Yeah, I certainly hope that I'm able to do that, and I'm confident that I will be able to do that. Of course, there have been a number of well-publicized cases recently, most notably involving the Navy SEALs and so forth, who have written blockbuster books without actually vetting what they were writing back to the appropriate authorities. And so anything that I might write down the road on the basis of what I'm learning here, I will be obligated to send back into the Pentagon to make sure that it goes through the appropriate clearance authorities, so that I'm not divulging anything. I would think I trust my own judgment pretty well to not put that information in anything I would write for a broader audience to begin with, but I'll have a greater degree of confidence knowing that somebody else is going to take a look at anything I might write down the road on this.
So are you, while you're doing this work for the Pentagon, going to be still attached to UW-Madison?
Oh yeah, I'm on leave from UW, principally as it pertains to teaching classes in the classroom. Of course, I'm not drawing a paycheck from UW during my absence, but I'm continuing to advise my graduate students. I'll continue to conduct independent study. In this day and age, we've got wondrous technologies such as Skype and FaceTime, so I can do that. Distance is no barrier to continuing to be able to serve in those capacities. And I will continue to co-chair with my dear colleague, Mary Louise Lou Roberts, our new Foreign Society and Culture program in the Department of History, which is not yet officially established, but we're very close to that. And I'm also the principal investigator for a collaborative project between the Defense POW MIA Accounting Agency and UW, in which we have a postdoc historian in residence within the History Department right now.
And we'll leave it there. A full plate for John Hall, military history professor, UW-Madison, now working with the Pentagon on the history of counterterrorism.